Okay, I'm moving down here. So the last time Dave put me on this spot, we spoke more about kind of individual opportunities as far as in the body of Christ, what is it that a person can do, an individual can do, and who's going to be bold to make those changes, to actually step up and essentially be the guide that that other people decide to follow. And we've actually seen that happen. We've been seeing it happen for quite some time now, and that's really what Lisa and I are both. She's gonna clean up my mess here after I finish, but so she'll bring us home here at the very end. But being able to actually take and see what are these places that where God's been working specifically within this church that that we see, and are we impactful in the community? Because I think that most folks would probably agree that that's what we want our church to be. Is that correct? That we want to be able to minister to people in some way. We want to be able to see these pews filled. But sometimes when that doesn't happen, do we get discouraged? Do we start to believe, like, well, I don't know. You know, just a couple of years ago, we were like, well, maybe God doesn't even want this church anymore. Are we financially viable? Are we even viable from the standpoint of a congregation? We found, well, that's not true, because we've got a core of people that actually have a heart for God, and we believe that this is a place that people want to come, and they want to worship, and they also want to ground their individual ministries in this place. So those are some of the things that we'll work through and try to hopefully offer that encouragement, even whenever we may not personally see it from the human perspective, but Lisa and I believe that we can see it if we look at it through God's perspective. So, scripture for the day. I don't know if that's awesome. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized in one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where it wants it, just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. The word of God for the people of God. So it tells us right there that everything's important. God does things for a reason. He's not wasteful, right? And the idea sometimes that we can get into that, well, we're not a big congregation. Or boy, I wish for the days when we had 80 or 100 people or something like that. And those were the days when we were really impactful. It's very easy to fall into that. And of course, whenever I speak, I always share soccer stories, and I maybe apologize for that, but that's kind of who I am. And I've dealt with the exact same thing when it comes to the organization I'm a part of, simply because we used to have this many kids, and we used to be this part of, all these different types of things. It's like, well, that's not who we are anymore. That doesn't mean that we're not worthwhile. That doesn't mean that we're not touching families, we're not touching kids' lives, we're not doing things in the community. And so it's our attitude. And obviously our society today kind of develops and shapes that attitude, because we tend to get in, bigger is better, flashy is good, All these things are what we really need to make sure that we feel important. And there's probably some truth to that in terms of the feeling, but is it true, especially again, when we start looking through things, again, in the lens of God's eyes, that you are here for a reason? Last time I spoke, I think I may have given the analogy of the human body is made up of billions and billions and billions of cells, right? Every one of those cells has some role, that every one of those tissues has some role. Can we live without it? Well, we might. There might be certain cases where we do, but it is there for a reason. I don't know if you recall back years and years ago, it used to be the common thing of, well, why do we even have the pinky toe? What's it useful for? Well, ask somebody who doesn't have one. They'll probably tell you. So sometimes we don't know what we have, again, until it's gone. It's, you know, maybe a sappy old song. But many of these things certainly go to the fact that we are important. Each of you as an individual, like we spoke last time, you're important. Dave, I think, has been very passionate about trying to nail that message home, and I appreciate that from him, that each one of us have something. So I'm going to go through a couple more scriptures here just so we kind of get in that mindset, but I really want to take a moment before turn it over to Lisa and make sure that everybody understands some of these little impacts that we're having. And I say little, but actually I think you'll start to realize how big they are. So we'll continue on. This is out of, and let's open Bibles, because I get to a point my mouth gets dry and I'm going to start stumbling over words, and so somebody else can do it. We're all one family together, right? Let's go to Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. And the first brave soul that gets there and would like to read, we'll pass the mic to you. Matthew 14, and we're going to start at verse 13 and go through 21. Yeah, it is up on the screen. Anyone? Anyone? Oh. So if you do, let's see, what do we have up there? Yeah, let's just do 13 through 15.
Okay. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on the foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that we can go to the villages and buy themselves some food," or so that they could go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Why have we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish?" They answered, "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the bread and loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces and were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
So when this crowd massed together, did Jesus order the disciples to go to the local Costco and bring truckloads of food back, and or did he begin to panic that, oh my goodness, all of these people are coming? Obviously not. That's not what the scripture says. Why do we think that Jesus was so confident at least the way this is written, he appears to be very confident, right? He's given very specific instructions on how the disciples should proceed to go feed the masses. So why do you think that is?
Well, he knows.
He knows that that certainly changes everything, right? And that's, that in a nutshell is everything, really, when it comes to faith, right? Faith is trying to do something when you don't know what the end result's going to be. So yes, he knows, but he knows because he's got tremendous faith in the Father. As that human on earth, that faith is there, and he's spreading that out through everyone else. So again, sharing a little bit of a story, because it's kind of fun to. We have these opportunities, especially me whenever I coach teams, I have these opportunities sometimes to bring myself back in, because it's real easy. Even when you become a parent, you become a boss, whatever the case might be, it's real easy to go tell everybody else, go do this, right? Because you just that's your role. And sometimes we get frustrated because, well, you didn't do this, and this. Because it was very easy to say, but sometimes maybe along the way did we forget how easy it actually is to execute a certain thing. And I've had this with, again, youth and soccer teams, to where I've challenged myself and some of my coaches, believe me, we have the leg pains to prove it, that sometimes we actually go out there and we practice or we play. With teams during practice or with some of our kids. And it's always interesting because how quickly they light up. They turn it on, you know. I mean, it's like, oh, coach is out there, so I'm going to put him in the ground, you know. I'm sure I've said something at some point. But it's actually interesting from our perspective, from the adult's perspective, that, you know what? When I tell you to make that pass or when I tell you to pick this up or that up, sometimes it's not that easy. There's a lot going on in a very quick amount of time. It's not that easy, okay? So, to me, that's the blessing that God gave us. When he put Jesus on this earth, it was an opportunity to be able to say, I get what you're feeling because I'm there too. So, yes, you're right. Jesus knew, but he still had to have that faith of the Father that, you know what, this is going to be okay. I have to have that faith that I am here for this reason and that this is going to come through. Lisa and I have had faith today that we wouldn't royally mess this up. And we're not done yet. I'm not done yet. But anyway, we'll see. So the faith that this church is and is going to be an important part of this community. That this church is doing the things, even though sometimes we may not feel like it, that when you actually start to look and you slow down, we are doing the things that this community is going to need and continues to need. Okay? All right. I like this next one. This one's, if movies were made on the Bible, I think this one's got to be up there somewhere. Maybe I should be our goal. Let's make a movie on 2 Chronicles. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 16 through 22. Sennacherib's siege of Jerusalem. We've got up there. Any volunteers to read this? Go ahead, Jane.
The king also sent letters scorning the Lord, the God of Israel. He wrote, "Just as the gods of all the other nations failed to rescue their people from my power, so the God of Hezekiah will also fail." The Assyrian officials who brought the letters shouted this in Hebrew to the people gathered on the walls of the city, trying to terrify them so that it would be easier to capture the city. These officers talked about the God of Jerusalem as though he were one of the pagan gods made by human hands.
Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to God in heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders and officers. So Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own sons killed him there with a sword.
Wow. Does it take a lot of resources to accomplish things? You know, from our first story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, it's a few fish, a few loaves of bread, but God was able to use that, just those few resources, to be able to feed this mass. In this case, an entire army was defeated whenever the faith was there that God was going to protect the city. And obviously, whenever you how many times have we seen it again through different parts of our culture, again, sports, a variety of things. We follow celebrities, and we find people who begin to put themselves in such a high regard, such a, you know, untouchable pedestal, and then suddenly something happens. They're brought kind of crashing down, right? I mean, it's almost comical to me how many times we see that through our culture, but yet, as human beings, we tend not to learn because that's our sinful nature. So going and mocking God and trying to believe that this army is so powerful that God chose them otherwise. And again, many times when you go through the Bible, it's amazing to me his power is shown through the fact that there were very, very few people, very few resources, whatever it is that's used. So again, bottom line with all this is that we may not be a congregation with pews filled. We may look around sometimes and see, 20 people here, but those 20 people can be 20 mighty people. Okay, they can be mighty in this community. They can touch people's lives, because sometimes all it is just reaching out, and again, with the faith of God to go do so. So, the examples. Alvin and Jill did the pancake breakfast yesterday morning. Okay. Now, again, we would love to say that 300 people showed up. Alvin might not. I don't know. That'd be a lot of pancakes to me. But, okay, people showed. Right? People came. We started something. There was something there we started. So thank you for being bold to step out in faith and believe that this can be done. The chili cook-off. We've got a lot of people involved in Act Soup Kitchen. How many folks in our community get impacted by that? And then think of social media, right? Social media is that I start with one friend, and then that friend gives, you know, it's like this this huge network of things. So when you impact even just one person, that impact can go farther. We've had people on boards, Habitat for Humanity, right? A lot of things. So really the point is that there were times in this church, and I heard it directly, to where it's like, well, this church does not do anything. What? It may not always have AUMC on the sponsorship or sanctioned event thing, but the people of this church, the congregation of this church, does a lot, a huge amount. We've got teachers, Steve's wife, a teacher. We do a lot of things, youth programs, whatever it might be. There are people here that do that. So this can be home base for those of you, those of us, that are doing that outreach and making sure that we're doing it for the right reasons, that we're doing it with the faith of God, that we can make those impacts, make those differences. So, okay, I'm going to turn it over to Lisa now. Thank you for a moment.
Remember that mic?
Yeah.
It might be entertaining for a little while, but, you know. So let's just have a party now, you know, because I'm up here. Yeah, woohoo. No, just kidding. thank you, Jason, for that. I'm going to move on to another. Yes. Oh, leave yours on. Okay. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. So I'm going to move on to another set of scripture, which was one of my favorites of all time, the Philippians 4, 1 through 14. And I would also like a volunteer to read, if you would. And we have the New Living Translation up because I really love this. The language of it is just so easy for me to understand. And, you know, I grew up as a kid that I was told to read the King James Version when I was 7, and that was pretty challenging. You know, it's a good version as well, but for me, like, I love the terminology with this language and this version, and it's really nice. But if one of you would like to even read from that version, that's fine. Would anyone like to volunteer and read this? Yeah? Okay. We're going to go through 14, 1 through 14. Okay. And let me get you the mic. I'll share it with you.
Yeah, that's up. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. What? Let's try a different version.
I like that, though. That was good.
That works.
Okay. I can tell by her reaction. She's like, what? Okay. This was written by Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify now. I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of sight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of the priest, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, and that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly.
I think up there, was that chapter 1?
That was chapter 1, Phil.
Okay, yeah. Yours is chapter 4.
Okay, so
yeah. Well, I started on chapter 4.
Okay. That's better. So, where it says, therefore, my dear, you have chatted out of all five. Okay, so, all right. How about, can I read this? I'm going to read the other one. I'm not going to torture you anymore. I'm so sorry. Yeah, okay. No, but that's also a good passage, and I appreciate you reading that. This one is Philippians 4:1-14. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive from my work. And again, this is still Paul talking, okay? And here we get some words of encouragement. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the peace, the God of peace, will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is a full, with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ, who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. This is probably my favorite passage of the Bible because I am a person who tends to get anxiety off and on from time to time. Anybody else have that problem, or am I the only one in this world? Yeah. So, you know, especially being a teacher, I feel now that I'm in this role of pleasing many people. Your kids, you know, you want to make sure you're teaching them well, and you want to make sure that they're happy and understanding things. You want to please the parents, you know, if there's a problem and they're asking you for help, you want to be there for them. Your boss, the director, you know, I do want to please him, you know, and I want to make sure that he, you know, I follow what they want me to do and do those things. And so sometimes I find myself forgetting to get back with God and use His strength. And so I go to this section of the Bible. And I think us as a church, relating this to what Jason has been talking about, sometimes we, you know, in the past we've had, you know, people say, oh, well, we should do all these great things and we should do this and that and everything else. But really, we should look at what Christ is wanting us to do and look through that lens of Him and see, what does He want us to do, you know, all these other things, or does He want us to continue to do the great things we are doing and realize that we are being God's hands and feet with all of these ministries, you know, that we have going on in the community that He's talked about. And I believe, you know, sometimes when you look with the wrong lens, you look with the human lens and you forget about God for a while and you get busy. You know what I mean? Right? Am I the only one that does this? Hopefully not. Yeah, it's easy to put on the human lens and be like, oh, I've got to do these things and blah, 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 and get stressed out and not have that peace. But when we take that one away and put on the lens of Christ and look through God's eyes and see what He wants us to see, you know, then He brings that peace. You know, when I remember to pray and I remember to go back to the Word, he helps me to put that my eyes in the right focus and know that I, you know, can do what he needs me to do, and that's enough, you know? Like, that's enough for us. And no matter what size our congregation is, we are enough because God is with us, you know? And he gives us that strength. I mean, it's right here in this passage that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what I mean? And so if I just feel like, yeah, we really love the title that believing is seeing, because if you really believe and you get back to that faith and remind yourself to turn to God, he will help you see through his lens of what should be done and what we should be doing. And he will bring us that peace that we're, you know, always wanting to have, you know, and he does that for me when I remember to come back to him. And so I really want to encourage us as a church to do that, to remember. When we do, we are going to be making decisions about our lovely sanctuary with decorations, and we're going to be deciding what things do we want to do in the future, you know, and how do we want the church to grow, or whatever things that are coming our way, you know. I encourage us all to look to the Lord first and remember to put that lens of what his will is and not our own. And I believe that we will have that peace and that we will be together, you know, and we will be the hands and feet that we're already being, but he'll help us to continue that and move forward. You know what I mean? So that's what I really see. And I do see amazing things in all of you. I think you're wonderful people. You know, I love being here and being a part of this church. And y'all are a blessing to me and an encouragement to me. And so, you know, that's why we're here, because we love you guys and we care about you. And I know that God's presence is with us. You know, we've gone through some crazy times in the last 5 years. You know, we all know this, but we're still here because, you know, we still love the Lord. We still love each other, and he's with us, and I can feel his presence in this building. You know, Davis talked about that before too, and I feel it too, you know, and I feel that love. And so I really encourage you to keep remembering, to keep open communication with the Lord individually, but also as a unit, as our small little church that we are. If we keep that up and with prayer, you know, thoughtful, sincere prayer to him, and staying in the Word, you know, alone but also together, I think those things will keep us seeing through his lens and through God's lens instead of our own human lens, you know. So that's pretty much it, I guess. I lost whatever I was going to say. This is called middle-aged brain acting up. but I love you guys, and, you know, thank you. And so will you please join me in a closing prayer before our offertory time? Thank you. Lord, I just thank you for the people of this church and the love that I see within them. And I just ask that you will continue to bless them and be with them, Lord, and encourage them with your spirit to keep walking in your path that you direct for them individually and for us as a church. Help us to remember to put on your lens, Lord, and to see through the eyes that you want us to see. And just help us to keep building ourselves up and encouraging each other too. And I just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.